Well, I just want to extend a welcome to you if you're visiting. I know we've got some Wawen folk with us here this morning. Where are you guys? Over there. Hey. Welcome. I saw you coming. And I know you're from all over the world. Just lovely to see you guys here. And may the Lord bless you as you fellowship with us. And then I know we've got some other visitors here. Thank you for coming, because it looks like a lot of people got caught up in the rain, and I'm looking around and just noticing some people I'm going to have to phone straight off to the meeting this morning, find out where they were, because they missed such an awesome worship time. Wasn't that glorious? Woo, I'm glad I came to church. Come on now. And thank you, Michelle. You can take your seat now. All right. Amen. Be blessed. That's all right. If you're visiting with us, well, why don't you raise your hand so we can welcome you? I saw a few folk I haven't seen before, maybe first-time visitors, or don't be shy now. We're not going to do anything to you strange. We just want your credit card details. No, kidding. But we've got a lounge area here. If you're visiting and you want to know a little bit more about what we do, come and sit here. Someone will serve you coffee, and we can introduce ourselves to you. We'd love to do that. Amen. All right. We're going to take up the offering. Are we ready for that, Chrissy? Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I wonder if the guys taking up the offering could come up. And if you can do two things, if you're not multitask, just ask your wife for help. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 in your Bibles. And while you're doing that, take up your offering. And the end of the month again, Bible says, honor the Lord with your first fruits, and this is a way we show partnership in the gospel. We give because we're already blessed. We give because we've already got a Father who loves us. But by giving, we are planting seed for this gospel. And so, Lord, we do this morning as we bring our offerings, our tithes, we do it joyfully and cheerfully. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Sure. Well, you just had a river flow through this place. And while I'm on that point, let me just say that our evening services are changing dynamics a little bit. We've combined what used to be the furnace meeting. I think we should not call it a service on a Sunday night. We should just call it flow. Let's just flow. I mean, we just can have times of just worship and just... So it's much better than carte blanche. If they still have that. Do they still have that on TV? Okay. So, just want to encourage you to come down on a Sunday night. It's going to be a time of worship with a difference, time of ministry. And, well, like what we had this morning, but maybe just with a little bit more time. And... yeah, everybody happy? Galatians chapter 3, reading from verse 5. Does God give you His Spirit or work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Thank you. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. Say after me, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Wow. So I know we've got people representing from different nations here this morning. My wife just mentioned to me, she met a couple there. Friends are out from Denmark, and they just happened to meet some of the YWAM students who are also from Denmark and find out they live a few kilometers from each other. I mean, what are the chances of that? On a Sunday morning, bumping into someone, Belgium. See, I can't even get the country right, but God got like everything else right. So anyway, that's amazing. And while I'm on nations, there's a clipboard that's going to be passed around. If you live in this nation, in walking distance to this church, and you'd like to be part of a life group that meets here on a Thursday night, then I know the life groups all got kicked off this last week. How did it go? Good. Amen. Remember, we're providing the life coach at the gym, but it's still for us to get to the gym to enjoy the full benefits of what's offered. Amen. This is going to be a year of growth. No, you didn't really believe me at that time. This is going to be a year of growth in your life. This is a year of favor. This is a year of increase. This is a year of breakthrough. And I really believe that as we build these foundations, as we get down to the gym and work out some of these regimes and get into some of these things we're going to be doing, I'm trusting God that over the next several weeks, we're going to see huge increase and change and growth in the priests of this house. Man, come on now. So we're going to be having one of the life groups that meet here on a Thursday night. They're going to be watching the Andrew Womack video. And I know we had some of the life group leaders sent through some helpful adjustments we can make to the whole system. And one of them is to try and get the material maybe on the Friday before, not wait till the Monday of the new week. So from the Friday, so we'll get that done. And any other suggestions, welcome to send them to the office. I really have a passion for this, to see God's people established and built up in the word of faith. You see, but here's the thing. We can have all the doctrines of grace figured out, theoretically. We can have all the understanding about how much Jesus did at the cross. But it's like having a bank full of money. If you don't know how to access it, it's not a lot of use. So what we want to teach and what we want to unpack, and even on Sundays, is something of this theoretical stuff we're going to be learning week by week. How to actually access it by faith. Because faith accesses what grace provided freely. Everything was purchased at the cross. You can't get God to do any more than He's already done by what He did at the cross. But you can stand and admire it like money in a bank for the rest of your life. But if you don't know how to access it, and you access it by faith. Or else we're just going to be like that proverbial widow who died with millions of rands under her mattress because she didn't know. She didn't have knowledge of how to use it. So I'm really trusting in these few weeks now, on Sundays, and I'm wanting to just add something to the material, and it's that we access it by faith. So this scripture I just read says that Abraham was that kind of man. He was a man of faith. God, I mean, who's this Abraham? First of all, he's just a pagan Philistine, uncircumcised, dualistic, multi-god worshipping heathen. And God speaks to him and says, "This is what I'm going to do, Abraham." And all it says is Abraham believed God. You see, that's how you access what God gives you freely, is by faith. You get to believe what God has promised. And it says that we are children of Abraham. Amen? We're sons of Abraham, so that the blessing promised to him can be upon us, so that we can be catalysts of that blessing coming into our world today. That's why this church exists. That's why you are here at this time and space. It's so that the blessing that came through this gospel that was preached in advance to Abraham can be upon your life, creating blessing in your life so that it can overflow and be a blessing to other people. But that can only happen as we learn how to operate by faith. So that is this ministry of faith. Let's just flip forward a few to Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And chapter 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Who qualified you? When you heard this gospel and you believed this gospel, He qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So now those of us who said yes to the gospel, who put our faith in everything Jesus did, the Bible says we were translated out of one kingdom into another kingdom. We were in an inferior kingdom. It's the kingdom that operates on this planet right now. The kingdom that is limited by see, touch, taste, smell in the natural order of deductive reasoning and human wisdom, looking to themselves to solve their problems, but they haven't got a chance because the problems are too big. God had to bring about the establishment of his kingdom on earth in order to solve the problems that man can never solve in his own strength or own wisdom. It's not a new kingdom. It was the purposes from eternity past that God established that man came into when God said, Genesis 1:28, go into all the earth, multiply, be fruitful, take dominion. It was that same commission God gave to them, was thwarted, relinquished, but then God comes to Abraham and reinstates it and says, there's coming a day. Let me tell you about the gospel in advance, because my kingdom is coming. And my kingdom is going to be like a tree that covers the whole globe, where the birds of the air will come and nest. And Jesus came preaching, that kingdom is at hand. Repent. Change the way you think. You have to be born again if you want to get into this kingdom. And we are translated out of a dead, inferior world system into a new kingdom called the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom that God initially intended for man, which, remember 2 weeks ago I spoke about his presence, his provision, his purpose. That what was given to man in the garden that was lost. Man lost his presence, God's presence. Man lost God's providing for them, and then had to work by the sweat of his brow and his own strength. And thirdly, a sense of purpose. A man gets caught up in all kinds of other purposes, that some are cross-purpose to God, and some are just futility, like dust in the wind. But God has re-established his presence in his people, where his kingdom dwells. He has re-established the means for provision for everything we need. You know, God knows what you need to get the job done that he called you to get job. And we have to learn how to access his presence and his provision, but also his purpose. He's given us a reason for living. He's given this church a mandate. And we need to see how important the big picture is. And this is part of the kingdom, how it operates. In this inferior kingdom, there's a way of thinking. You're taught from childhood how to think. And it's usually about me, 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 how am I going to get out of this mess? But in the kingdom of God, Jesus comes and teaches a whole new technology, whole new way of operating, whole new way of thinking, whole new way of speaking, a whole new way of behaving. As we sung this morning, it's foolishness, I know. I mean, your friends look at you jumping around on a Sunday morning when you could be lying in bed having breakfast brought to you, and they think, you must be foolish. Give up your time, and then you put your hand in your pocket and you give hard-earned cash. I mean, your cousin didn't understand that. What on earth did you bring your money to church for? Can't you see that pastor's got two cars ready, and now you're putting money in the offering? I mean, they just don't get it. I mean, the way the world system operates on buying and selling, the kingdom of God works on sowing and reaping. The kingdom of this world operates on get ahead. Doesn't matter who you walk over to get first place. The kingdom of God is a serving kingdom. A kingdom where the greatest are those who lay down their lives. This kingdom's all about get, get, get. This kingdom's all about give, give, give. It's a complete reversal of kingdoms. And you've been translated out of one kingdom into another kingdom. But the problem is we can live in this kingdom with this kingdom mindset. And that's why we need to create new education. That's why I love the grace message. Because the grace message provides the material for calibrating our thinking systems, for educating our idiot box with gospel truth. But unless I know how to access that by faith, I can go to the grave with all this treasure and never having invested it. So that's what I'm talking about. Living in this kingdom isn't a dichotomy, as I'm painting the picture here on the stage, this kingdom and this kingdom. Really, we're in the world but not of the world. That means you don't divorce yourself from the world. You are in the world, in the market, in the place where it all happens, but your mind is thinking differently to the way this world is thinking. We're going to learn to speak differently to how this world speaks. And our lives begin to demonstrate God's kingdom's rule on earth, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit, His presence, His provision, and His purpose. Right here, right now. Amen? This is not foolishness. This is not foolishness. So, let me just back up a little bit now and say, all this we see around us, in this beautiful lightning and thunder universe we live in. Let's see how it was put together. John chapter 1. We could go to Genesis, but let's look at John chapter 1. So I want you just to keep this picture as a background, and then I want to, oh, time is just gone again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, say through Him. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Through the Word. In the beginning God spoke and said, let it be. Jump across to Hebrews chapter 1. It's like right past Colossians. Just if you get to James, you must do a U-turn at the robots and back up a few blocks. And you get to Hebrews, and it says in chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. So we see from this that everything was created by God's Word, and everything is held together by God's Word. Right now, the very atoms that are vibrating inside of your body that hold it all together are the same relatively as the solar systems in the galaxies that are vibrating in a certain order and are held together. And all that is being held together by a word God spoke. I saw an interesting, I don't know where I saw it, I think on TV or something, where they had the sand on a glass surface, and then they would have a sound come up from the bottom, like a speaker was playing. Boom, boom, boom. And the sand would actually make a pattern. Then they would change the sound and it would make a different pattern. That's quite interesting. Although isn't that a little bit like when God speaks? The same Word of God speaks, and the same atoms that make up everything start vibrating and taking on forms and shapes that are unique patterns to their own like. Isn't that amazing? Wow, isn't God awesome? Isn't it incredible that He could, just by speaking, set in motion galaxies and universes and bodies that can reproduce and heal and live and breathe and smell and feel and love and sing and clap and dance. He could do all that just by speaking a word out. And then it says His Word holds all of that together. Wow. Isaiah 55. I know you're kind of sitting there thinking, okay, so which sermon are you preaching this morning? You've been jumping around a bit. I'm so glad you noticed. It will all make sense probably next week when I finish it. Isaiah 55 and verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now look at the next few verses, what God's word can do. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. The trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. My friends, God is in the business of demonstrating in His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But it's going to take place through a people that learn how to come into agreement with His word and what He has spoken. We don't go about creating our own little environments by some clever new age technology. All we're saying is whatever God has said, we come into agreement with that. And the moment we come into agreement with what God has said, He watches over His word to see it fulfilled. He wants there to be a river flowing in the wilderness of your life. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to be more than an overcomer. He wants you to walk in unity and love and joy and peace. But if we come into agreement with God's word, He will watch over His word in the same way as His word can hold the universes and galaxies together. His word can hold your little life together. Come on now. You're not so difficult in the big scheme of things. Your few little problems aren't so difficult in the big scheme of things. But what it's going to take is that our words have to agree with what God has said so God can watch over His word. In the same way, the enemy wants you to come into agreement with his word. Oh, my life is so miserable. I'm so tired. It's just not fair. You know, I just don't ever get opportunities. I'm just, you know, moan, grumble, complain, criticize. You know, that pastor down at Harvey Road, who does he think he is? You know, moan. And all you're doing is you're coming into agreement with a lesser, inferior kingdom. And you are building a little kingdom in that kingdom around your life. And it's a kingdom of sorrow. The word of God says when you come into agreement with God's word. Now I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Can we look at another scripture? Let's go across to Mark 11 verse 20. Mark 11 verse 20. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen. Woo! You see, this is what prayer is, my friend. You know, someone says, well, as a church, do we still pray? You know, we don't have prayer meetings anymore. Let me tell you, while we were worshiping this morning, we were having a prayer meeting. While I'm preaching the word this morning and you're in agreement, we're having a prayer meeting. When you walk out of this building and you say, thank you God, it's going to go well with my family today, you're having a prayer meeting. When you're driving home and saying, God is going to take care of all my needs according to His riches and glory, you're having a prayer meeting. Because every time you come into agreement with the word of God and say to this mountain, get out of my way, say to this fig tree of depression and anxiety, wither up from the roots, whenever you speak these things and don't doubt from your heart, you are accessing what Jesus purchased on the cross for you. But that's how you come into agreement and access what God has said. I mean, come on, church. We can get the doctrines and theories of grace over the next 20 weeks until our head's full of information. And then we can go around criticizing, complaining, condemning, and then wondering why nothing's changing in my life. Hello? Bible says God is watching over His word. He's watching over it. He's looking for an opportunity to surprise you. He's looking for an opportunity to take you by surprise when you're least expecting it. How great is your goodness that you've stored up, that you will pour out in the presence of my enemies. God is just waiting for an opportunity to show His goodness. But He's waiting for covenant people who will say, I agree with You, God. I'm having a prayer meeting every time I come into agreement with You. Every time I speak to that fig tree. Every time I speak to that mountain. You know, I've got no preconceived ideas now. I don't see why Jesus wanted them to go throwing Table Mountain into the Atlantic Ocean. I don't see any purpose in that. So go, you know, knock yourself out. But I know some of you are facing other kinds of mountains here this morning. Some of you got other roots growing up under the ground this morning. And as we learn about righteousness, we need to stop confessing failure. As we start learning about the fruits of the Spirit, we need to stop confessing depression and negativity. As we start learning about healing, we must stop talking about, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm just, or, you know, I'm catching a cold. Who would like to do that? Now, I know I'm playing a little bit on the, you know, the old faith language of yesteryear, but I think they had something. I think some of them had something there. Because we can't consistently live at a level that's below what we declaring. God's watching over your word, our word, His word. God says, speak to this mountain. Can you take some more? Matthew chapter 13. You go back one book, not too difficult. Matthew 13. And Jesus has just told the parable of the sower. I'll cut the whole story short because you should be fairly familiar with the guy that goes and sows his seed. And some is on the rocks and gets eaten. And some falls on good ground and some all that. And his disciples come and ask him about this. And he says in verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, say kingdom, and does not understand, does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And then in verse 23 he says, but the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. So Jesus is explaining this parable. He's saying, this message I'm bringing you is about a kingdom. It's another kingdom. It's not the kingdom of this world. This kingdom starts off invisible inside of you. And as you begin seeing the soil of that kingdom as a good place for the word of God to be planted, your spirit will make a demand on the seed you're planting, and it will produce fruit in your life. But if you hear this message and you allow yourself to not understand it, or you get distracted, or you start going off on a different tangent, and you don't keep on meditating and filling your heart with this word, the enemy will come at a moment you don't realize, and he'll steal that word from you. So this is serious business. This parable is serious business. When you put something in the ground, the ground makes a demand on it. You bury something. Those of us who've lost loved ones, the ground consumes it. But you know what the ground's really trying to do every time something gets put underneath? It's trying to grow it. Because that's the nature of the ground. Operating on the life principle, it starts to eat it up. That's why you got to cover a pole in creosote when you put it on the ground, else it'll be gone within a few months. Or in Durban, it grows. Anything grows. You've got to be careful where you spit your pups in Durban. Why? Because the ground is always wanting to take something that's put in it and make it grow. Jesus is saying it's the same in the kingdom of God, in your spirit. The moment you are putting my word into a situation, I'm watching over my word. But when you're planting fear and criticism and unbelief, the enemy is watching over his word to see it fulfilled. And some of us need to pray crop failure. Because everything we sow, we reap. Paul says God's not mocked. What you sow, you reap. You sow into this world system, the flesh. You sow into this technology. and try to operate according to the system of this world in the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will have a different harvest. You'll have a harvest of life and joy and peace and provision and glory and His presence. He says, you're going to reap what you sow. So you've got to be careful what you're sowing. He says, whoever speaks to this mountain. Amen. I know some of us have heard the message of grace and we love it. And we're going to continually preaching our position and righteousness. And you're going to be hearing about it as we go through these next several weeks in the life groups. But I want to say to you, if we don't pray every day, God put a guard upon my lips that I will only speak in line with your word, we will not see a harvest. We will not see fruitfulness. The enemy will come and steal what we've learned. Because God does nothing but that He first shows His prophets. And why is that? Because the prophet has to declare it. The prophet has to speak it. And when the prophet speaks it, Bible says God will watch over His word to see it performed. It shall not return void, but shall accomplish everything. My friend, you're living in a different kingdom. You're living in a superior kingdom. You're living in a kingdom where there's no shame, there's no embarrassment, there's no fear because of what Jesus did on the cross. But let's not get to heaven with all this treasure locked up in our heads. Let's say, God, I'm trusting you for a harvest. I'm trusting in this church for a harvest of souls. And it's going to come because we declare, thank you, God, that the lost are going to be saved in this place. Thank you, Lord, for new church leaders and church planters and worship leaders and life group leaders that are going to emerge out of the soil in this church. Maybe you're going through some stuff right now in your personal life. And you're saying, this is just not fair. Why should this be happening? Well, I don't know. You know, there's dangers in that we try and simplify to one thing. But just maybe, we're going to go back and look at what we've been planting. Maybe that's one of the things. We can go back and say, God is not mocked. It's going to come back. Whatever's put in is going to come back. Except, Jesus became a curse for me at the cross. And I can believe that even when I've planted foolishness, even in the consequence, He will take the curse out of it and He will reverse the curse and cause me to walk in something that I can't even believe that God did it, because He's just somehow working all things together for good, even in my weakness. I tell you, businessman, that even 10 years of failure, God can restore in 1 year. We're not living by, we're not just looking in the natural. The mistakes we've made for 10 years, God can fast track and change. He can reverse the curse. Every bad seed we've sown, if we put our faith in Jesus and say, Lord, we screen that through the cross. You got what I deserved so that I can get what I don't deserve. And that's your love, your goodness, your favor, your mercy, your presence, your provision, your purpose. And I'm going to take hold of that by faith today. I'm going to curse my cursed seeds, and I'm going to start as from today saying, God, put a seal on my lips. Can we do that? Can we do that right now? Can we stand up? And can we pray that? Can we pray that right now? Father God, let's say this together. Father God, thank you that you watch over your word, that you building a superior kingdom, and the words that I speak are building into your kingdom. So put a guard on my lips. I serve notice on all criticism. I serve notice on all condemning thoughts. I serve notice on all negative speech. And I say, mind, you will be renewed. Mouth, you will speak in alignment with your renewed mind. Life, you're going to reap a hundredfold. God's favor, His blessing, His joy, His righteousness, His provision, His presence, His love. Receive it this morning. Receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. You know, and in an environment like this, one of the greatest seeds that's been sown has been for those who've never been born again, who've never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Wouldn't this be a great opportunity right now to say, church, if we could just bow our head just for a moment. I want to ask you, if you've never been born again, and you came here today, maybe as a visitor, maybe you've been coming for some time, and you say, I want to submit my life totally into this new kingdom. I want to be born again out of this worldly kingdom into Christ's kingdom. Then may I pray with you. May I pray with you right now, just in the quietness of your heart, just between you and God right now. Say in your heart, Father, I've heard this morning about the cross, where Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again. I believe that all my sins were dealt with at that cross. I believe that I can be born again into your kingdom by your word. And now, as a church, we just want to stand in agreement with you. If that's you, if you prayed that prayer now in your heart, Bible says we should have agreement. Same way we agree with God's word, we agree with one another. So if that's you, I want to come into agreement with you. I want to identify with you, and I want to just pray for you where you're standing. If you prayed that prayer this morning, just look up, make eye contact with me. Just look up, make eye contact with me. In a moment, I'm going to look in your direction. I want you just to say, that's me, will you pray for me? Right now, just raise your hand. If you're looking at me, anywhere in the building, just raise your hand, say, that's me, thank you, ma'am. That's me, I'm saying, thank you, sir. That's me. I'm in agreement with God's word. This is the starting place. It's not the ending place. Because you're going to go from here today and start agreeing with everything else God says about you. Oh, what a wonderful journey we're on. And all God's people said, amen. God bless. Have a wonderful day. Don't forget, we flow every night at 6 o'clock. So, you've been warned.